If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 1. I want to thank you for being in the house of the Lord this morning and just let God bless you today. Amen? Glory. Hallelujah. God is an awesome God. And I know the stock market is fluctuating and Greece is going broke. Isn't it bad that Greece is going broke and we got to suffer for it? Yeah. I don't know about y'all, but I was watching this week and I saw them stock market start going down and all I could think about, my retirement shrinking. Because it's tied into them markets. And I've never understood, because Greece can't make a payment, I got to help pay it. But we're not really helping them, but we're losing money because our stock market went down because they can't pay their bills. We got a Saudi Arabian making billions of dollars a day, said he's going to give away $60 billion. Why don't he give 1.7 to Greece and let them pay the bill? That might help the whole world. Oh. Some of y'all look at me like you ain't been watching the news. That's a good way not to worry. I'm not going to watch the news. That way I won't worry about it. Then you won't know when it's coming. Joshua chapter 1, be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and thou shalt, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have I not commanded thee, be strong and of good courage? Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning, God, for your word. We ask, God, you'd reach down and touch this house, Lord, with the power, the grace, and the glory of your spirit. For it's in Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. Praise God. Shake your neighbor's hand. Look around in the eye and say, hey, have you ever found your destiny? Glory. Oh, by the way, folks, we started a new ministry on Wednesday night a few weeks ago called Royal Rangers. We started out with 5 kids, had 8 or 9 last week, and we're expecting it to continue to grow. Wouldn't it be great if we had about 20 or 30 kids showing up on Wednesday night for Royal Rangers, another 20 or 30 for Joy Bells? Amen. Glory. Miss Millington's back there going, She'd say, I need an assistant. Oh. And I think it'd be awesome. Because we'd see kids learning about God, learning things that'll help them get by in the world, that'll help them live right. Amen? Let me ask you a question. What is your destiny in this world? Where are you really going? You know, some of us don't really understand where we're headed. We get up in the morning, we go through life, we go through motion, but we don't have a goal. We don't have nothing we're doing, we're just going. Hello? Have you ever sat down and asked yourself, God, what do you want with my life? What do you want to do with me? You see, Joshua's at that point in his life where he's sitting there going, hey, God, I know you want me to do this, but you don't understand, I'm not Moses. I mean, this dude was wild. I saw him stick his hand in his shirt, come out, and it's full of leprosy. I saw him stick it back in and come out plain. I saw him hold a stick up, and the water parted in front of him. I don't know if you understand that, God, but I ain't him, and I don't have that stick. And God looked at him, and he said, as I was with Moses, I will be with you. Then he said, be of good courage. And church, some of us need to understand, one of the biggest problems you got in your life is that you don't understand that in you, God has put a destiny that you need to fulfill. And as long as you're not trying to fulfill that destiny, you are never going to be happy. You'll never make enough money. You'll never be satisfied in this world. You'll beat your head against the wall the rest of your life and never accomplish anything till you know that you know that you know that you're where God wants you to do, doing what God wants you to do. Could you say amen? Amen. Do you know your destination? Or are you just a statistic? You just somebody that they count. Glory. Somebody said, what are you talking about? Most people are not happy with their life, simply going to work every day, doing the same old thing every day. Work, that four-letter word. I got saved. They told me to get rid of my four-letter words. That's the first one I threw out. Hello? Some of y'all never learned it. Don't look at me like that. Church, I've never known anything different. When I was 12 years old, I had to get up early in the morning and go bale hay all day long in the summertime. I'll never forget one day I walked up to my daddy. I said, I don't want to work today. I'm 12 or 13 years old. I ought to be able to play like everybody else. He said, you're right. Go ahead. Whoa, I didn't realize it was that easy. Man, I jumped on my bicycle and I took off down the road to my friend's house. About 11 o'clock, I got to listening. Sure enough, I heard that mama ringing that bell back there telling them down the field it was time to come eat. And I jumped on that bicycle and I headed home. And I ran up on that back porch. My dad said, where are you going? I said, lunch. He said, you ain't working. I said, what are you talking about? He said, you don't work, you don't eat. I got on the bicycle. Went back down to my friend's house and scrounged up a couple of pieces of bread, some cheese, and ate it. Supper time come, I got home. I started in the kitchen. Dad said, where are you going? I said, I'm going to eat. He said, did you work today? I said, no. He said, you don't eat. I said, Dad, I'm going to starve to death. He said, I doubt it. But unless you work, you don't eat. You said you didn't want to work. You wanted to play. Go play. I got up the next morning, mama's cooking bacon and eggs and sausage and homemade biscuits and gravy, and I'm up there going, Nettie come in there and said, what are you looking at? I said, biscuits. He said, huh? You ain't worked. Until you work, you ain't eating. My mom was going to slip me a biscuit. My daddy took it away from her. He said, no, ma'am, he's going to learn his lesson. If he works, he eats. If he don't work, he'll starve. Because if he leaves this house with the attitude he's got, he'll want to play all the time and he'll never have anything. You know what? He didn't ask me to go down that field that day. I was down there wide open. I parked that bicycle and I was all up in the middle of that hay. Did it come? That bell rang. I tore up some food. Glory. Amen. And you can bank on this. I never walked by my daddy anymore when it was time to work going, I don't need to work. I'm too young. I want to go play because I understood the way it worked. You don't work, you don't eat. And I've never forgotten that. Come on, church. That's good preaching. Some of y'all looking at me like, well, bless God, I'm hungry. Amen. Well, there's a reason for that. Come on, church. Amen. But see, most people's not happy. One man told his friend, I lost my job because of sickness and fatigue. He said, wow, that's bad. He said, yeah, my boss said he was sick and tired of me. Glory. Amen. Hello. George Barnard does research projects in America. He concluded several nationwide surveys. The surveys were information taken on telephone interview with nationwide random sampling of 1,002 adults. What he found was amazing. For instance, 9 out of 10 adults described themselves as being self-sufficient. And most people, 2 out of 3, admitted that they like to be in control of their own lives. Now, while they may sound good, the problem is that if I'm self-sufficient and I'm in control, then I'm not under God's sufficiency and I've not allowed myself to be under God's control. Hello? Now, however, at least half of our nation, life satisfaction would be enhanced if they could transcend their packed schedule to figure out the meaning and the purpose of life. For surely our purpose is not to spend an entire day working, 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 going home and working, 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 and all we do is work. However, for at least most of us, if we're in control of our life, we are going to have to do those things because we have no one to provide. Hello? Half the people surveyed admitted that being too busy, especially those under the age of 50, and those with children at home. Less than 4 out of every 10 surveyed said their life is well described by the term, I'm in debt. Hello? 1 out of every 10 surveyed say they are dealing with some sort of an addiction in their life. Why? Because they're trying to be self-sufficient. They're not dependent on a God that can take care of that problem. America seems to possess a great degree of self-confidence and self-reliance. 6 out of every 10 people admit to being skeptical. But not so amazingly, half the Americans say that they're searching for the meaning and the purpose of life, and they can't find it. These are some words that we have in the survey. 31% said they're stressed out. 49% said they're too busy. 50% said they need new friends. 40% said they're in debt so bad they can't get out. 11% said they're dealing with addiction. 90% said they're self-sufficient. 48% said they're searching for purpose. 55% said they're skeptical. And like the ones that like to be controlled is 66%. Where do you fit in these numbers? Are you at that point in your life where you know where you're headed? Or you're sitting there trying to figure it all out? Some of you have been trying to figure out for years where you needed to go, and you ain't got there yet because you keep trying to figure it out yourself. You want to make up your idea of what you want, do what you want, and you don't understand. If you give your life over to God, God will give you purpose. God will give you meaning. God will set you up in life. And happy is the man whose God is Lord, who understands I'm not in control. He is. This is not my life, it is his. And if I let him live through me what he wants in me, everything's going to be all right. Could you say amen? Amen? First of all, we have a roadmap to our destiny. Proverbs 14, 12, 15. There is a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is the way of death. Even in laughter, the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that mirth is heaviness. For the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. For it should simply believe every word. But the prudent man looketh well to his going. The wisest man in the world said, if you take your time, you'll make sure you're trying to figure out where you're headed. Come on, church. Have you ever asked yourself, is where I'm headed where I want to be when I get there? Huh? Are you just still going? Listen, church, it doesn't matter whether I'm going fast or slow. If I get on Highway 65 South and I drive 35 miles an hour and I don't stop, I'm eventually going to get to Mobile. If I drive 70, I'm just going to get there faster. So it doesn't matter if your life is going down the tube slow or fast, if you're headed in the wrong direction and you're headed somewhere you don't want to be. It doesn't matter how fast or slow you're going. The end result is you're going somewhere. You're going to wish you hadn't got there when you get there. And the only way to change it around is to get the roadmap that God has given us. Notice what he said to Joshua. Let the words of my law be in your mouth continually. Study it. Walk by it. What's going to happen? This will make you prosper. This will make you successful. This will give you joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. And the power of God will make your destiny what God has put in you to be. Glory. A life is like a road trip. There are many routes you can take to get where you want to be. Of course, to us as a Christian, heaven's our ultimate goal. And my understanding is there's only one way, one truth, one life, and that is what God wants to do. Hello? Come on, church. Say, well, preacher, God don't know who I am. You know, there's a lot of people actually believes that. But can I tell you what he told Jeremiah? Jeremiah 1:5, he said, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. You know what he said to Jeremiah? Before you ever were, I knew who you were going to be. While I was putting you together. Hello? While I was designing you. He said, I put you together and you got in you the ability to do what I gave you to do. Church, have you ever noticed that if people actually are supposed to be singing, they can sing? If they got to apologize for what they're going to do before they do it, God probably ain't in it. Hello? Y'all heard what I'm talking about. Y'all listen to what I'm singing, not the way I'm doing it. How am I going to listen to what they're singing if I ain't got to hear the way they're doing it? Come on, church, smile at me. Some of y'all got offended by that. I'm sorry. But God didn't call you to sing and not give you the ability to sing. You don't see me up here holding a microphone up here with the rest of them. There was a time in my life I could sing. Close to 9,000 sermons has messed up my vocal cords, so that ain't going to happen anymore. Glory. But the reality is God didn't call me to be a singer. He called me to preach. And I messed up my vocal cords preaching, but he keeps them moving. He designed me to do what I'm doing. And even though they might not be perfect, they're still working because he designed them to work it. And he told me it would work. Amen. God knows what's in me. That's why he can say, I will never put upon you anything you can't bear. He knows what kind of load you can bear because he built you. He designed you. He put you here for a purpose. And if you'll get in his purpose, you will never get to a place you cannot handle it, because God is able to do exceedingly and abundant and above all that ever needs to be done in your life. Listen, the goal for you now as a believer is to find the will of God in your life for every part of your life so that you can stay on course to the very end. Everybody is not designed to be the same thing. We're a body. If everybody had a body made up of hearts, it wouldn't be much of a body. Everybody had a body full of livers, it'd be rough. You couldn't breathe. You couldn't walk. You can't walk on livers. So God created toes, and he created feet, and he created legs, and he created arms. He created all the body parts that makes that body work and function, and he put a brain in it to hold all of it together and make it work like it's supposed to. And we're a great, magnificent electromagnetic organism that works in this world. But can I tell you, the church is the same way. Not everybody's going to be in front. Not everybody's going to be in charge. Not everybody's going to do that. But everybody has a destiny in the church. Everybody's got a plan in their life that only God can do for you. Oh, God don't know me. Isaiah said it this way: your mother may forget you, but I will never forget you. I have engraved your hand in the palm of my hand, and I will remember you, and I'll hear you when you cry, because your cries are continually before me. God knows who you are. If you can just get in that destiny, God's got a purpose for you in this life that only you can fulfill. Jesus said it this way, John 34, my meat, my substance, my entire reason for being is to do the will of the Father and finish the work that he had for me. If Jesus had to walk in the will of God, who are you to think you can do what you want to and God just bless you? Come on, church. Unfortunately, the survey shows most people take an alien route, an alternate route to get off track from the will of God. Have you ever done that? Huh? God called me, and for 35 years I had an evangelist. And I know everybody thinks evangelists just got it made. They just blow in, blow up, and blow out. I averaged 250 services a year for 35 years. I drove back and forth every night when I was in Alabama so I'd be home with my kids when they got up in the morning. I don't care if I was in Mobile, Dothan, it didn't matter. I went home, and I got up with them in the morning. I can remember the early part of my ministry when I drove nails all day long and preached every night, and I got old quick. But there came a time when all of a sudden everything came to go out the window. I had two or three people cancel on me. People don't understand that, but people that's never evangelized don't understand that when a man gets canceled on, he's an evangelist. He didn't get laid off. He got fired. There ain't no unemployment. Hello? And I got put off for some sad reasons. One guy called me and told me they had a virus in his town. I said, well, buddy, if you can call me 2 weeks early and tell me it's still going to be there, I don't want that thing. Glory. I don't know about y'all, but a 24-hour virus is all I can handle. I don't want what's going to last 2 weeks. And if they got a virus, he knows 2 weeks later going to still be there. They can have it. Of course, I found out the virus was another evangelist because it was on the sign out in front of his church when I went by that week headed somewhere else to preach. One guy called me and said, my piano player's going to be gone. I said, really? He said, yeah. I said, so your wife's not going to be there? He said, oh, she's here. I said, well, your wife plays the piano? He might as well call and say, we're out of peanut butter. We just wasn't going to have that revival. One man called me on Saturday night. I was supposed to start on Sunday morning. He called me crying and said, we've had a death in the family. I said, man, I'm sorry. Anything I could do to help you? And then he told me it was his chihuahua. I love my animals, but if you love your dog so much that when it dies, you got to put a man out of work, let his family do without. You got some priority problems. And can I be honest with you without you falling out? Because I am human. I sat around wondering if he had some more dogs, need to join that in heaven. Now, some of y'all would never admit that, but if I'd have found a couple of them, I might have sent them on up with them. Glory. Peter wouldn't be happy with that part of the sermon, so you might have cut that out before you put it on the internet. I don't want to come down and march out front with their signs. Glory. Them nonviolent people. They were marching on the mall one time, Tuscaloosa, with signs, fur hurts, and they had pictures of little baby seals and raccoons and stuff like that. And I was watching a girl with a raccoon sign come walking over by me, and I said, hey, you ever have one of them tear a garbage can up on your backyard? You did, you'd shoot them too. She hit me with a sign, so I realized she was not nonviolent. She just didn't want to hurt a coon, a raccoon, or a seal. She didn't mind hurting me. She popped me with that sign. I went, whoa. I went to the car. Guys, what are you doing? I said, they are not nonviolent. Lord. I got so discouraged in my ministry that I came to camp meeting. And I got to camp meeting. And I had the first 5 weeks I had scheduled after camp meeting cancel on me. And I'm sitting there going, I've been out of work for 3 weeks, fixed to be out of work for 5 weeks. And you know, all of a sudden an alternate route popped up in front of me. I started telling people, I'm fixing to give y'all this thing you call full-time ministry. And I promised to go to the Louisiana camp meeting, and I went by the mall waiting on time to go by Frida's mom, pick her up where she was going to meet me at her mom's house in Northport to go to Louisiana to the camp meeting. And I stopped in the mall, and my former boss was sitting there. There's my route. He offered me a job with the mother company. This is 1981, somewhere along in there. He offered me $35,000 a year guaranteed salary plus 10% commission. I started calculating. I was up to $150,000. I ain't even made East Mississippi yet. I'm fixing to make big money. I took that. I said, you know, I'm not interested. I was lying because I already spending money. But I wasn't going to tell him because I might get him, might drop the price. I was fixing to take the job. I got that thing. He writes it down on paper, what all he's going to give me. And across the bottom, he said, you can hire a secretary. And I'm thinking, Frida, I pay her more money, we'll make more. I go by, pick her up. We're going down the road. I said, baby, I'm not doing this anymore. We're not going to worry about how to pay the bills. We're not going to worry if we're going to have food to eat. I'm fixing to take this job. Now, most women, if your husband walked in and told you he was going to start making the equivalent of $300,000 or $400,000 a year now, you would just go crazy. My wife wadded the paper up, bounced off the side of my head, said, you've backslid. I go all the way to Louisiana. She ain't talking to me. I reach over to the pizza. We're going to have big time. She says, shut up. I lost the route. because I saw a route that looked better. I saw a route that looked like it would help me get where I was going. Any of you ever been on a road you thought was a perfect road and then find out there was problems with that road? I'll never forget, we were headed to Montana one time. Matter of fact, I think the first time we went out there, we got on one of the highways on the back road and found out that the flood had washed out some of the bridges on the four lane, and we ended up having to go back around through Nebraska and almost got hit by a truck and had all kind of problems. I can see Boyd back there laughing because he was driving the car when the truck almost flipped over on us. Amen. And we went through all that because we took the wrong route. And you know what? That's happened to a lot of people in our churches and a lot of our families. We've gone the wrong way, gotten all kind of trouble, and then turned around saying, why has God left me? He never left you. You left him. You took the route. You went the wrong way. I got to camp meeting that night. Preacher preached about things that abide, how much money he could be making selling insurance. He said, but I had to sell out to God. And I'm sitting back here going, man, he's read that paper I got. Ain't it horrible when you go to church and a preacher gets in your business? He stood Curtis Silcox up and he said, Kurt, you could have been a Rhodes Scholar, but you turned it down to be a preacher. You ever regret that? He said, not one moment. He falls out in the spirit. I catch him laying down on the cement. Brother David Beatty was sitting on the other side of me. Most of y'all have never met David Beatty, don't even know who he is. But he learned piano from a lady in Faraday, Louisiana, and taught his three cousins how to play. And y'all heard of his cousins, Jerry Lee Lewis and Mickey Gilley and Jimmy Swaggart. He could have made all the money they made. But he pastored a little church for 35 years in Baton Rouge that every time he get up to 100, the army would move a bunch of people and he'd lose half his congregation, have to build it back up. He stayed there all those years being faithful to God. And somebody asked him, said, what do you think about it? He stood up and said, Brother Beatty, you've turned down all those recording contracts. You've done all that time. You stayed at that church. You've been faithful to God. He said, once you've been to Nineveh, you don't dream about Joppa anymore. And the Holy Ghost hit him and he fell. I had to catch him before he landed on Curtis. He gets up, gives the altar call, so I want everybody to come to the altar that needs God. Man, I'm standing back there watching everybody because I'm like church folks. I didn't want nobody to know I was sitting back there needing something. I'm like, I don't let nobody know nothing. I'm evangelist. I'm trying to get revivals. I go up that altar. There ain't nobody going to book me. They get everybody up there in the pastor's. I want everybody to come up and pray for folks. I walk up and I'm, oh, God bless them. Me too. Oh, God touch them. Me too. You ever heard the old saying, watch what you pray for? Because all of a sudden there was a cold chill hit me and I spun around. Floyd Lahom was leaning down into me. Them little baby blue eyes were sparkling and something shot all the way down to my feet. And he said, choose you this day who you going to serve, son. Now I asked him later if he knew what he was talking about. He said, I must have. What he was saying was, he just said what God put in his heart. What he didn't realize was he was actually speaking what I needed to hear. Because at that moment, I had to choose. Am I going to stay faithful to God and keep the destiny God had for my life? Or am I going to sell it out for what the world can give me and what I can get in this world and lose everything I got? I want to tell you something, honey. You need to understand some of you can put your destiny on hold and mess up your entire life. And at that moment, I prayed through in an altar. God spoke to me and said, where are you going? I said, I don't know. I'm just going. He said, don't you realize that wherever you're headed, I'm already there, and you're never going to get away from my call, and you're never going to get away from my love. But if you'll turn around now, I can put you back where you need to be and set your life up. Listen, church. In November of that year, my wife and I were told we'd never have children. It was a biological impossibility for us to have kids. She could not conceive. I could not give a child. We were told the only way we could have children was adopt. And I get tickled when all y'all talk about, well, she looks like him, you and he looks like her. It's because they're ours. January of 82, they told us we could never have children. September of 83, Alex was born. 2 years later, my wife is diagnosed with malignant lupus, and they tell me she's got less than 15 years to live, and there's nothing they can do to help her. That the only choice she's got is go through treatment. It'll only talk to symptoms until eventually it'll take over her life and kill her. Now, this is at Kirkland Clinic. They told me there's nothing we can do, but within the next 15 years, your wife will expire. See, y'all thought that was my first wife. Well, it really is. Because they run their test again a month later, and that guy looks at me and says, these are done by computer. There's no way to make a mistake. I said, would you just run the test? He said, they cost $1,500, and the insurance will not pay for a second test. I wrote the check out, gave it to him. I said, here's the check. If you're right and they come the same way as they were, there's your money. If they ain't right, you tear the check up and you eat the test. He wouldn't even come in the room with us. Sent the little Indian guy in there. He walked in and said, Mr., we do not know what you had, but you don't got it no more. Glory. In case y'all have not figured it out, the next November, Alicia was born. She just turned 28. She's been in this world that long. Her mama's still alive, and she's still free of the lupus that they said there was no cure for, because we got back into the wheel and the destiny of God, and God took back control of our lives. And it's not about money. It's not about doing it. It's about the joy that God can put in your life, the things God can do for you. It's about living in a prosperity and a successful world where God makes you happy no matter what's going on. Going on. Stand with me all over the house. Part two of this sermon will be tonight. If you want to hear the rest of it, you can do that or buy the CD. Glory. Church, do you understand what I'm trying to tell you? Some of your biggest problem is you've never let God loose in your life to fulfill the destiny He has for you. Everybody in this building has something you can do for God, that God, when you get into it, no matter how great or how small, your life will be happy. Your life will be joyous. And some of the very things that keep tearing away at you will disappear, because God is going to take care of you. Joshua could never tell you he never had any problems. What he could tell you was, as for me and my house, we're going to serve God. Hello? We all get excited and say, oh, yeah, well, that was during the time of the, he says, you could serve the God of your fathers on the other side of the flood. And I've had people tell me, oh, he's talking about the flood of Noah's day. No, he's not. That wasn't his flood. The flood, he's talking about that Jordan River that was flooded, that when he prayed, God said, send the prophets in. And when the priests step into water, it'll part, and y'all cross on dry ground. That was his flood. He said, now you could serve the gods of your fathers that y'all worshipped out there in the wilderness. A bunch of you died, or the ones you worshipped while you was in Egypt. You go for it. But I'm serving the God that provided for us. I'm serving the God that brought us through that flood. I'm serving the God that delivered Jericho and all these other cities into our hand, because the God that has done that for me is the same God going to take me the rest of the way down the road. And let me tell you something, honey. I'm not worried about what's going to happen in my life tomorrow or the next day, because I know in whom I have trust and who I put my trust in. And if I'm in the will of God, God is going to take care of me. God is going to provide for me. God is going to keep me in a place where my life is going to prosper, and I'm going to see success in what I do for Him, because He is God. Oh, Father, we thank You this morning, God, for Your love, for Your mercy, for Your power. God, I believe You to pour into this altar today Your love, Your mercy, Your grace. Touch us with Your power, Master, in Jesus' name. Lord, have Your way.